Hold on to your butts.
Welcome to Endgame Chat for Saturday, February the 3rd, 2018. It is Season 12, Episode 4, and I am Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Go to endgamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. That's the best bet. I say it all the time. If you ever want to find out where we're at, what we're doing, anything like that, just communicate with us. Ingamechat.net will have all the links you need to do that. Now, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you don't like...
That makes me sad if they don't.
Maybe they don't... Maybe I don't want to go to your website and click on your links. Just tell me where I can find you. Hey, we'll do that too. Twitter, at Ingamechat. Facebook, Ingamechat. I mean, we're there. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Nobody does anymore.
Which makes us sad.
Makes me a sad panda.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's, you know.
We like the emails.
We like hearing from you in many different ways. I got some tweets this morning. Well, I got a tweet this morning.
Yeah, I saw that. That was good.
Was that not awesome?
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that.
good tweet.
Oh, it was a, like, I told her, I was like, this is
it the, made your day.
That was the best thing to wake up to was news. Well, we'll talk about it. Twitter at Endgame Chat, Facebook Endgame Chat, email us. Streaming on Twitch. I'm going to go through the instructions on this, but it's really easy if you just go to our website and click on the link. Go to twitch.tv, type in Endgame Chat in the little search bar up at the top. There we are. You can watch us while we broadcast, and you can hear us as well. You can join in the chat room. And a late birthday to AC Wraith in the chat room.
Happy birthday, late.
Yeah, he had a birthday yesterday. There was cake. He ate his yearly meal of Nacho Supremes and Buffalo Wings.
Now, Nacho Supreme Buffalo Wing cake?
Oh. I don't know, yearly meal? You don't do that, like...
More than once a year?
I was about to say, that shouldn't be yearly.
I mean, he's not American. So,
I'll say again, that shouldn't be yearly.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't think he's gluttonous as we can be.
Is he a neighbor to the north?
Because we'll do that every day.
Yeah.
Or at least weekly. And we don't need birthdays
monthly
to be an excuse to do it either.
Is he up north?
I don't know. Canadian? AC Wraith, where are you from, man? Putting that out there. See, this is what happens if you watch us on the Twitch, you go in the chat room, we talk to you back and forth.
Yeah.
Or you call us too. Do that as well. We gotta do the clap.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Why did I think he was... Because
he's a Yankee.
I swear I thought he was out of...
Anything above Tennessee is a Yankee.
Yeah, I thought he was out of there. Anyway, let me do this little board thing here real quick.
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
All right, clap, clap.
Here we go. Clappy.
Is that like, Clippy?
Clippity clappity.
You need to put like googly eyes on it. Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Would be, wouldn't it?
Googly eyes make everything better.
Put two googly eyes up here.
Yeah, you could be clappy.
Little,
how can I sync up audio for you, Clap?
Little pipe cleaner arms. Hey, everybody! My name's Clappy!
I think we have a.
I'm here to help you!
I think we have a craft project in our future.
Nah. Anyway. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
I'm just having a sip of coffee. So anyway, Twitch, all that stuff. RJ's back.
Yay, RJ back.
He was gone for a while, but he's back now.
Mm-hmm. Just one show.
Yeah, just one show.
Just one week.
Well, you went to a convention. What was it?
I went to Comic-Con in Birmingham. over this.
How'd that go for you? It went
pretty good. I had a good time. We went to the arcade there. They had a really nice setup of Japanese arcade games mm-hmm. and skill games, things like that.
Fighting games,
fighting
Plinko.
Games especially. Yeah, all that type
Plinko?
Of stuff.
Plinko?
But
that's a digital. It was a digital version or something like that.
Plinko?
Something the, like the, it looked like
the,
it.
Yeah, it looked like
the Price is Right game?
There's a random thing falling down. Yeah. So, yeah, you had a good, had a lot of good, how, big
like
ride
Plinko.
Out there. Yeah. Maybe she'd go out there.
I like Plinko. Plinko's, like, I was just explaining Peggle the other day, and I was like, it's kind of like Plinko, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that is the game, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not just making things up in my head like I normally do, but, yeah, no, yeah.
But you said the do-do-do-do-do-do. That's the bouncy thing with the chip, you know, when you have to do the thing. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Or I guess it could be a ball, or it could be like anything, really. Just bounces off of pegs.
Now, I did have a missed opportunity out there. They had the Initial D Stage 8 racing game out there, the one that saves all your data to the card, macro, the banner passport, things like that.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of those when I went to AWA last year and went to round one in Georgia. And I had a bunch of cards from all those games, and I had got a good little stack of about five or six of them. And I intended to get a little wallet to keep them with me in my car or whatever for whenever I see that game again. Mm-hmm. Wasn't able to. I just missed it. Just didn't think about it, and I didn't get to play it again. But like I said, we'll try it again next year and do all that. Uh-huh.
They had a game behind the Street Fighter that I guess you sit in and everything. What was that?
Gundam.
That was a Gundam game.
Yeah, you sat in this little pod and you were controlling he had the controls for a Gundam and you were just walking around.
That's cool.
4v4, I think.
Okay.
Competitive shooting type of thing. Yeah, had that going on there too.
I'm always
big
a fan of like mech pod games.
Yeah, there was a big line for it too, so it must have been really popular out there as well. Mm-hmm. They also had a bunch of they had some tournaments out there, so
of course
hosted by. Some groups, one in particular, Beat That Guy Gaming, held a bunch of tournaments out there as well. So I was able to enter the Street Fighter V one, Arcade Edition, and I entered the Guilty Gear Xrd Revelator tournament as well. Unfortunately, we didn't have many people sign up for the Guilty Gear tournament. We had four. Then one didn't want to pay his entry fee, so it went down to three.
No.
So it was just a little three-man tournament that we played for, and I won that one. But
how much was the entry fee?
15.
You didn't want to just, pop in 15 bucks and play?
Yeah, I mean, you're at a convention where you're going to be spending money on a lot of stuff. You couldn't spare $15.
Yeah,
like,
okay? I went to a convention and
parking, food.
Spent a lot of money.
They can be expensive.
Yeah.
And that was just on the food.
Yeah. But yeah, so we had the tournament that won that one. The Street Fighter V AE one had 12 entrants in it. It was a $10 entry fee, so the pot was $120, and it was a 70-20-10 split. So 12-24-84
okay.
For the winners on that one. And it was a good little turn on that one. Got some good info watching the matches being played throughout that one. So it was
cool.
A good time overall. And of course, since it is Comic Con, you had Alexander Shinara,
of course,
there as well, the biggest celebrity. At the con.
I got to talk to the Ruby people from Rooster Teeth.
Oh, yeah, Rooster Teeth.
So that was
four
cool.
Four Star? Was Four Star there, I think? Yeah, I think they were there. Someone was there. Someone representing them was there as well. Yeah, but I saw a whole bunch of people. But for the most part, I saw a whole bunch of people sitting around Alexander Shinara's area. They were flooding that area. Everybody wanted pictures with him.
Yeah.
Why? His picture's on the billboard.
Yeah, but you're not with
that's
them on the billboard.
That's why he's popular. They had his billboard.
You could
put your face in the middle there.
Oh
so there were people in costume. I think the best. I think somewhere on the internet right now, there's a dude. There's a stormtrooper in the middle of the Alexander Shinara billboard.
That wasn't me. That's fantastic.
It's got to be out there somewhere. I'm going to have to look for
fantastic.
It.
Before we get into everything that we're going to get into, we'll go to the phones. Crawdad's on the line. Hey, Crawdad.
Hey, I know this is not necessarily game-related, but I just started watching a show on Netflix that made me think of you guys, Altered Carbon.
Yeah, don't tell me anything about that, because I haven't started watching it, but I really, really want to.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I like it.
Okay.
I mean, I have not heard really any bad thing about that, and so I am very excited to start watching it, so Just, you know, hold back on the talk on it. I'm very interested in watching it.
Just in general, that, you know, these companies that are outside the major, like Paramount and MGM, that Netflix can put up money to see something of this quality done. It's kind of a new thing to me.
Well, I mean, is it kind of like how HBO was back in the day, like in the 80s?
Yes.
That kind of revolutionized, you know, when cable, you know, like people like, oh, why do I need cable? Because I got my, you know, my rabbit ears on my TV. Mm-hmm. And for all the younger kids, that's how we used to watch all four channels. Let's do rabbit ears. But, you know, it's like when HBO came out, that's when like, oh, my gosh, they're actually doing new shows and movies, and so that's what got the cable revolution.
They had a lot of good movies that came out. I still remember some good films. I remember were HBO original films.
Yeah, and so now I think this is like the internet version of that sort of thing, mm-hmm. with Hulu, with Netflix, Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. even. Yeah. You know, with their, you know, it's everything circular.
Yeah,
you know, what's happened before will happen again, but mm-hmm. you know,
I'm real glad to see that the quality of some of these productions, they're top rate quality.
They really
are.
Oh yeah, fantastic.
On another note, I love it when you guys talk about the old nostalgic games, the arcade things. Mm-hmm. Those back a lot of memories. Things I hadn't thought about in years.
Well, we'll be talking about those actually, because there was something in the news about some arcade stuff, and we'll be talking about that.
Some shenanigans.
Yeah, so stick around for that. And but yeah, we'll do some of the older stuff, of course.
There was a game that you had to look through a periscope, and it involved just a very simple flat plane and tanks. I don't know what the name of that
was. Battle. Oh God.
Was it Battlezone?
Battlezone. Yeah. It was all like green wires.
Yeah, the wireframe.
Yeah, that was Battlezone.
Mm-hmm. And then they used that same wireframe when Star Wars. What was that?
Oh, the Star Wars arcade. The old vector graphic one with the sound chip where they took dialogue from the movie that was really bad.
And even though the graphics were not what they are today, those things were just as fun.
When that came out, I think that was 83 for the Star Wars arcade, 84, around there. That was, I mean, kind of revolutionary because it was, you know, first person in a way, perspective.
Yeah.
You know, when you're flying through the Death Star trenches and shooting were supposed to be TIE fighters. But I mean, that was like back then, that was like, oh my gosh, this is like really pushing the envelope when it came to video games. Or Dragon's Lair, you know, how they had like whole laser discs. You know, the game was on laser discs, and it was all animated by Don Bluth, and it looked like a cartoon.
There was a reason that cabinet was so wide.
Yeah.
At the base, there was a whole laser disc player in that thing. Yeah, and now you get it on now you got it on PlayStation 3. I just on the spur of the moment, all three of them: Space Ace, Dragon's Lair, Dragon's Lair 2.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, some of those old games, you know. Where we're at today, you know, we are standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, with, you know, the older gaming systems. And
some of these old games that used to play on, let's say, an early Windows-based environment, that if you put the disk into, let's say, a Windows 10, it just won't do anything.
The architecture of the Windows just can't.
Yeah.
Be compatible with some of those old DOS and Windows.
Yeah, which is why, and I know we've told you about this site before, but good old games. If you go to goodoldgames.com
or GOG,
GOG, GOG.
Because
if you go there, I might get an addiction.
I mean, it's a shame. Like some, like these older games.
It's not really one of the bad ones to have, honestly. Yeah. If you're gonna get addicted. Box.
But and yeah, they some are of these safe. You don't have to worry about viruses.
Oh, no.
No. They're totally that's safe. Completely legit.
Yeah, they're cheap. They're, you know, not that expensive.
Because, you know, one of the things that really gets me is not just the game itself, but particularly every show that you start up has got that piece of music. I love the audio atmosphere that is created by some of these people making these games.
Mm-hmm.
That in and of itself is fantastic. Some of the work that goes into the sound production,
mm-hmm.
and the graphics.
I agree with you only for the fact that that's exactly what we're based on, really, is sound
it.
Here. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it used to be little blips and beeps, and now it's full orchestras and
actual musicians are getting it. You know, Trent Reznor, David Bowie. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, musicians have had a hand in the sound.
You guys
design.
Interviewed, this has been a little while back, but you had somebody you were interviewing that did studio work.
We've had a few composers on the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caught one of those, and I didn't get to call and ask a question, but I noticed that, you remember when Peter Gabriel started experimenting, going out and grabbing up different kinds of quote-unquote world music using different instruments?
Oh, yeah.
Dream, like the didgeridoo.
Mm-hmm.
The didgeridoo. Again, yeah.
The jambuk, I can't remember the name, the durduk, Armenian durduk flute. Reed flute, and you hear all these things now. You hear them in music backgrounds, and now you hear them in games, and I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's expanding. Well, we appreciate the call, Crawdad, so stick.
Right, have a good day.
Keep listening, because we are going to talk about some older games, and, at least specifically older game that we're going to talk about as well. Ver Fortis in the chat room says it was not Plinko, it was Pachinko.
Pachinko, yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Our fault. Our fault on that one, yeah.
Started the PNs with an O.
I know, but, you know, Plinko, man.
What's Plinko, then?
Plinko is whatever. It's that game for Price is Right.
Oh. Basically, you got somebody, you got a big board, big pegboard.
Yeah, isn't that basically what that was?
Yeah. Pachinko? Pachinko was the one with all the steel ball bearings.
I'm looking it up now. Oh, okay. Pachinko is, yeah, I gotcha.
I'm just going to chalk it up to, no. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Pachinko is actually very similar to what the first origins of pinball was, which is you'd launch, a pinball table at the time was a wall-mounted vertical thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a vertical machine. Yeah, it was a vertical machine rather than a slanted, the slanted field. And You would pop the little silver ball bearing. You'd pull the plunger down and then just pop it up, and it would go up a lane into an arch, and then fall between all these pegs.
Yeah.
And if it landed in certain holes or things like that, there were no flippers at the bottom, I don't think, at the beginning of that. And then maybe that was the separation, was that they added flippers to the bottom so you could put the ball back in play. And then it developed over time into what a pinball machine is today. So,
yeah.
But, okay, I see what pachinko is now. Oh, look, there's a Sonic-themed pachinko.
Yeah, there's tons of themes on these things. I think they're all over in Japan.
Did you ever have the handheld digital pinball game? I think it was like Firefly. Mm-mm. You never had that?
Handheld digital?
Yeah, it was a handheld digital pinball game. And it had a little dot, it was like dots, and
some Tiger Toys looking
something like that. Yeah. I'll try and find it in the.
I was saying back to Pachinko. I see a Sonic. I see a Star Wars. I see one for Popeye. There's tons of different themes on there. Different anime series as well. Gundam here, Persona 4. They're just like the slot machines here in the States. I guess more likely.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, now that's what that is. Awesome. Now that I know, and knowing is half the battle. We're going to be taking a break in a minute. I want to get to another chat room question that was asked real quick. And AC Wraith, birthday boy AC Wraith, says, "Do we get your official word?" And this is to RJ.
Oh.
Do we get your official word on Dragon Ball FighterZ? Have you played it yet?
I haven't played it, but I did watch people play it at Comic-Con. There was also a tournament for it, and everyone was having a good time with it from what I saw. Especially the fans of the series, they were interested in the way the lore was going along, especially Android 21. They liked her story and her aspect and how she looked and things. The only negative thing I noticed about Dragon Ball FighterZ is a lot of people were not liking how simplistic, they think it's simplistic, the combos like automatic, things of that nature.
Wildfire.
But like I've always said before, in any fighting game, the people who put the most time in it and practicing, they're going to excel and get to the top, no matter what the system is. So it can be really easy to get into, but it's going to be difficult to master. You just have to put the time in and everything that a lot of the professionals do. So it's from what I saw, it's pretty good. A lot of folks had a good time with it, and I'm interested in picking it up. I just haven't been able to yet, but eventually I will.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Wildfire.
Wildfire. Was it a tiger or who?
Did you put a link in the... Yeah,
just
you
did.
Okay.
Let me look
I
at the
had
link.
That growing up, and I played it
no,
so
I
much.
Never had that at all.
No?
No?
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. It's see. A little digital pinball game, and you beep, doop, beep, doop, and it, you know.
Understand that I didn't, the pinball bug didn't catch
did
on
you
to me
when you were a kid?
Until I was 13 or 14.
For me, I mean, it was a video game. I mean, it was just something I could hold, I could play. You know, I played, like, the old Nintendo Game & Watches. I had a whole slew of those. Just any, you know, any digital format that I, you know, I had, like, some knockoff stuff from Europe when I lived in Europe. I mean, just anything that I could hold in my hands digitally
was,
and play as a video game.
It was
game.
Tiger Toys handhelds that I was, I played with.
Now, I had a couple of those, yes, but not anything like Wildfire there.
It's pretty cool, though. I
like
that game.
The closest thing I had was, I think, was some...
I wish I saw
red,
had it.
Red digital boxing thing that I played. A while
Although
back.
I never had that old football. Remember the old, you know, 2-person football. The I never had that.
Yeah.
Because even Wildfire, back then, I went into sports games.
The image you put up here, the Parker Brothers.
Parker
Brothers takes 6 AA batteries. Yep. What year was this?
Oh man, this is like mid-'80s.
Mid-'80s. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had one. My sister had one. So
okay. We
both we played those on trips and everything. And you know, my parents were driving around, you know, the country or in Europe and stuff. Just bing, 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 bing. Yeah. Those were the days.
I don't see no volume control on that thing either. That may have.
I don't remember. Honestly, I'm kind of want to look on eBay, see if they're like, you know.
Don't do it. It's like the price of a house note, right? Probably price of a house note.
I'm sure they're not that expensive.
Famous last words.
True.
Very true. We're gonna take our first break and then come back and talk about the games that we have played. I really don't have much to talk about on mine, but you know, whenever I say that, I can spend 30 minutes
talking about nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. But I know that Matt has played a game that I didn't want to get into, but we'll talk about that.
I did.
Hmm?
I did.
Yeah. And
you have to let me know what it was.
Yeah, no, you'll tell us when you go into it. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Okay.
So anyway, going into music this week.
Oh wow, 79 is when it came out. Sorry, I'm still in the Wildfire.
I do the same thing. It's totally cool. Okay. I just ran out of there. So anyway, the music that was picked for tonight's show really is just kind of a hodgepodge of things. There is no rhyme or reason to it. Most of these things have kind of very. Kind of epicness to them of some sort.
Yeah.
With the exception of this first track, even though it does. This first track was picked because currently if you are an Xbox Live Gold member, you get the game for free. It's part of the Games with Gold program for the month of February. Mm-hmm. In fact, this month you can get Shadow Warrior. Shadow Warrior Zombie, which was the...
Zombie on the Wii.
It was the Zombie U, but when they ported it over to
Zombie, that one?
No. Zombieu. It was Zombie U, is what it was.
Okay. Yeah.
When it was a launch title for the Wii U.
Yeah.
But then they said, okay, we're going to put it on other systems.
And it was Zombie I.
And they just called it Zombie. Zombie. I think it's I.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's available until the 15th of this month. And then the other one that they added was an Xbox 360 game. That is made by a studio that both RJ and I are very fond of that does not exist anymore, Black Rock Studios. Mm-hmm. And Split Second is the game that is now
that
free.
Hmm? I remember that.
Yeah, fantastic game. And it had an interesting...
It was a racing game with super moves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
That destroyed the environment. If you pass somebody, especially if you drift, having 150-meter drifts... hopefully not like mine, where you drift off of a cliff or into a tanker that's exploding or something like that. But yeah, it was a very unique title, and it was really fun. It slipped and kind of flew under the radar. Kinda
it
like
really
Pure,
did.
Kind of like that and Pure.
Pure was their first release.
Yeah, Pure was their first one. That was a good, and it was a good ATV stunt racing game. And then Split Second came out, and they upped the ante on that and improved a lot of stuff from... a lot of stuff from Pure, you know, bigger vehicles, bigger tracks, things like that.
And then I think they folded.
Yeah, and then it slipped under the radar, yeah. Shame, though.
It is a shame. This is the main theme for it. It has a lot of different stuff leading into it. It goes on for like a minute or so with this sort of build-up. And then it actually gets into what it is. So I'm going to put the number here. Spigot's asking.
Oh, you don't like mine?
Well, because I ain't the right one. Oh, I forgot.
Area code?
Yeah, I got to put the area code. There we go.
So, real quick, I could get on eBay Wildfire, $10.
Go for
it. Inbox.
But yeah, it has this build. Like, I haven't even gotten to the main thing yet. It's all this build up, which I enjoyed, actually. But anyway, so this is music from Split Second. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat in just a moment, and your calls at 334-272-9228 is the number. We'll be right back. Now it kicks in. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I am Scott, along with Matt and RJ. Any guesses on this one?
No.
Back to typing. Back to what I was doing.
I got nothing.
Yeah, so composer is Hans Zimmer.
Is this something sci-fi?
Yes.
You'll
also,
okay.
You'll also, by saying that, you'll probably think, okay, it's obviously more modern than, you know.
No.
Part of a trilogy.
Mass Effect?
No.
No, no. It may not be familiar.
Probably not to me.
This is sounding familiar to me. I'm just drawing a blank because I'm old.
There was a meme in PC gaming that everybody would say. They would show you a really buff rig, you know, like there's like tons of RAM and the graphics card was double, you know, two graphics cards that were just top of the line graphics, everything. And then the whole quote under it would be, yeah, but can it run, what was the game? Do you remember? Crysis.
Crysis.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, but can it run Crysis?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that 09, I believe.
Yeah, that's
08. No, 07, 08, around that time frame.
This is Crysis 2.
Yeah, and that, I mean, because it was, I think, wasn't that from Crytek?
Yeah.
The guys that did Far Cry.
Yep.
The original.
Exactly.
Before, Ubisoft.
Well, Ubisoft was still the publisher.
Yeah.
Crytek were just the developers.
The developers.
And then Ubisoft and took over with, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember like, oh my gosh, this, you know, because at first I thought, you know, Crysis, C-R-Y, Far Cry, whatever. I thought this was going to be like, oh, is this like the follow-up to, it was the follow-up to Far Cry 1. Damn. And it was a punishing game back then on your PC. I mean, it looked at your specs and just, like, scoffed. You're like, oh, you think you want to run it on that? No.
I think, didn't we say a while back that you needed, like, one of NASA's supercomputers to run this game efficiently or something
like that? It was nothing like that, but there was...
I think it was, like, about 100 PS3s linked together, you know?
Well, it was something by... From what I understand, at the time, people were saying that, yes, you can put all this stuff here and you still will not be able to get peak performance out of the game. And there are still some rigs that have been built where they still can't get peak performance out of the game. Not that they want to, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the best performance out of it that you can with a decent rig. You didn't have to get the best out of it.
Yeah.
It's in November of 2007 was its first release.
Yeah, I remember I was in Korea for that.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. We don't like to keep our callers waiting too long. Especially do we, Chris? We always keep Chris waiting, and I hate that. Brock is on the phone with us. Hey, Brock.
What's up?
Hello, how are you?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for that tweet this morning, man.
Hey, no problem.
I like waking up with a smile on my face.
I figured, I was surprised last week after I'd heard it came out on Friday. I'm like, listen to the show. I'm like, he didn't say anything about it.
Because I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
What we're talking about right now is there's a new Room game.
Is this Room 4?
It doesn't look like it's Room 4. It looks like it's, hey, here's something in between the two.
Is it the fourth Room game?
No, it's, yes. It is the fourth Room game, but it's
so
called...
It's not numbered four. Yeah.
Right.
It's the fourth one that's come out.
So it's like a side story, something like that?
Yeah, it's almost like a prequel to everything.
I was going to say, you'd have to tell me, because I haven't played it, and I haven't even looked up anything about it. So
the Room? Okay, yeah, just from what I've played so far, it seems like it's very much... It does seem smaller. It's definitely a lot smaller, at least from what I've played so far, than Room...
Those things did get bigger as they progressed. Yeah,
yeah,
Room
like this,
1,
it seems a lot
2.
More like the first one, where it's very much more self-contained into like one sort of central puzzle.
3's not on Steam yet, is it?
No. 1 and 2 are, and then I think 3 will eventually make it there. And this one's called The Room, Old Sins. And what's the price on that? Well, you paid Canadian.
Yeah, it was about $6 or something like that, Canadian.
$6 and a moose.
And a moose.
Some beaver tail.
Yeah. And something from Tim Hortons, right? Everything got to be at Tim Hortons. So, Fireproof Games is the developer on that, and we've interviewed them before on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're massive fans of the Room series.
Yeah,
and
lots of fun.
Now they have something new. Welcome to The Room, Old Sins, the new 3D puzzle adventure, blah, 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 blah. Creators of the award-winning stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's out now on iOS and Android.
The funny thing is that's what it actually says. It says blah, blah, blah.
Old Sins is out now on iOS, Android release following shortly afterwards. The sudden disappearance of an ambitious engineer and his high society wife provokes the hunt for a precious artifact. The trail leads to the attic of their home and the discovery of an old, peculiar dollhouse. Explore unsettling locations, follow obscure clues, and manipulate bizarre contraptions as you uncover the mysteries within Waldgrave Manor.
Why you gotta be a creepy dollhouse?
I don't know a creepy dollhouse. That's not good. I don't like creepy dollhouses.
There's no creepy dolls that I've seen so far, so that's good.
There's always creepy dolls, whether or not you see them or not. they're just beyond the camera, and they're staring at you.
Man, looks really awesome. I am very excited to play this.
I remember playing the original Room, and like, you know, when it had that big weird contraption, they kept on like opening up and just you know all that. I'm wondering,
puzzle box.
Could that be possible in real life? Like, can you make, manufacture 3D print a puzzle box?
Have
like
you seen
that? No.
Go on YouTube. There's a guy who built a puzzle box for his father. His father's he likes puzzle games. Built a puzzle box, but he created a video. Runs about 20 to 30 minutes long of him going through and revealing the
secrets.
And
it opens up and continues to expand out.
So,
like
it's basically just, it's a box. And if you take one of the legs and unscrew it halfway, it releases a latch where a drawer can come out. In that drawer is a key that can unlock parts of that. If you keep unscrewing it, it comes all the way out, and there's a tool. It becomes a screwdriver.
I want this puzzle box.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. I want this puzzle box.
It's amazing. So
you can't get ones that break the laws of physics like the ones in the video game.
But I want physics law breaking puzzle boxes.
No, you can't do that at all. But it is fascinating. And there was
that opened up into insanity.
There was a company on Kickstarter that was making.
Oh yeah, I think I remember that a while back ago. They were making one.
They were making a puzzle box, and they were only able to make. Like, if you didn't get in early enough, you missed out, because they were only able to make maybe like 50 of them. And I saved it on my my Kickstarter page, but I had missed out. I didn't get there in time to do it.
I wonder how much the buy-in for that was.
I didn't care. I really would have loved to have done that.
Well, like an actual three-dimensional physical puzzle box, that would be. I mean, really, how hard can they be to make, right? Just give me some blocks of wood and some tools.
Yeah, exactly.
Have at it, Matt. Let us know how that goes.
Project for next week.
Yeah.
Let's see. This shows my backed projects. I don't want to see my backed ones. I want to see the ones where I.
As long as it has googly eyes on it.
I marked stuff. Do I have anything like that? Activity.
I don't think you can do that, can you?
I thought you could save some as like favorites, even without.
Oh. Mm. Well, that was only for the ones to remind you before they close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might have been it, because I can't really
see it.
Well,
Scott's looking for that. Have you played anything lately?
Yeah, go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What you been playing?
Been mostly Monster Hunter.
How you liking that?
I basically played nothing but Monster Hunter for the past week, and I put about 20
Isn't that how you're supposed to play Monster Hunter?
Yeah.
So, worth getting?
I've always bounced off them in the past. Like, it's been one of those series where...
I've tried one in the past, and I'm just like, meh.
Yeah, I've like I would like to, I can appreciate what they do, mm-hmm. but whenever I've tried them, it's been, you know, I put a couple hours in and then it's just okay. That's a bit too.
Doesn't get its hooks into you.
Yeah, this one I've put 25-30 hours almost into over the past week. So that's telling you something because
I've been thinking of that, but you know, Shadow of the Colossus.
See, I've
you know,
yeah, but you know what? Have you played Shadow of the Colossus before?
A little bit, enough to know that I liked it, but I never beat it. And,
really?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think
one... Then that decision gets a little harder. See, I absolutely adore Shadow of the Colossus, but I've played it through twice already.
I think I took down one Colossi. So, you know, it was the PS3 version when they did that remake on PS3, and I'm just like, I'm just not feeling... I don't know.
And that's with the... See, I played it originally back when it first came out on the
Yeah, I missed that in
I did too.
Ico. Was it Ico or Ico? Did we
Ico.
Ever...
Ico?
Ico, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if we like settled on an official...
Oh, it's Ico.
Okay, yeah. So I didn't play those when they originally came out. So I did play all the way through Ico, and then I started Shadow of the Colossus on the PS3 special edition, whatever, mm-hmm. and then I just put it down. And I think I... Now, didn't this new one have like different controls? Like more
I know they rebuilt it from the ground up.
So that alone, instead of having the tanking controls, I think might be enough to set me over for, like, yeah.
I know there's been some discussion about whether that's actually in keeping with the spirit of the game or not, because it depends, I guess, how they do it and if they make it.
Well, I don't care.
I think it is. I mean, like, you know, Resident Evil was originally tank control, but, you know, when you get past that and you get still the story, you know, the feel. You know, when I think of Shadow of the Colossus...
If they can capture the feeling of how you're clamoring up them and just sort of that weird ungangly, like gangly, like thrashing about and stuff like that, if they can still really capture that but have the controls be a little tighter,
I mean, great. For me, when I think of the game,
it might change the whole feel of the game. So,
I mean, I don't think of, you know, the tank controllers. I think of Reign Over Me with Adam Sandler and like how he's using that as like, you know, kind of like a metaphor for dealing with his grief, you know. Like, that kind of feeling, you know, it's not necessarily the physical controlling of it, but, like, you know, the emotions that it elicits. That's when I think of Shadow of the Colossus. So, to me, it doesn't matter if it, you know, one control scheme or the other. Heck, throw them both in, and you can choose whichever one you want.
That would be nice.
But, you know, it's more like, will it give me that feeling of, you know, trying to climb up this beast and, you know.
I just want my steelbook.
Yeah, there's that. And then, you know, next month is Far Cry 5.
I just want my steelbook. Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the
we haven't talked about the Far Cry thing yet, but so Far Cry 5 got a story trailer and then it got a mm-hmm. DLC announcement.
Yeah.
Three different packs of DLC, which would be
Jungle,
one where you're in the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
And then the other one where you're
there's one in space, I believe.
There is one in space, a zombie one.
You know
so,
what?
So these aren't exactly story things. They're just like, what, maps or something?
Well, it's kind of like Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon.
You know, how it
never,
was
Far- okay, first of all, I know of Far Cry, but I never played any of them, so.
Far Cry 3 was like, you're sitting on the island with Vaz, and it's crazy, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, nothing to do with any of that. You're in an 80s action movie, basically.
Wait, that's the one with that.
With lasers that, and that's robotic
one,
dragons.
Isn't that the one that looks like Hotline Miami, some yes. neon
yes.
pink
yes.
and
all neon.
Okay, that stuff, okay.
So yeah. It just happens to be coming out around the same time as Far Cry 3. It's DLC for it, but it has nothing to do with the storyline. It has nothing to do with, you know.
Okay.
It's its own little spin-off thingy.
It's a go do something wild.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and you also get a copy of Far Cry 3 as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that bit. But.
Yeah, okay. I did see that.
they're re-releasing Far Cry 3 for PS4 and Xbox One. That won't be until the summer, but of course if you pre-order it now, you'll get a copy of it to play. It's kind of like they did for South Park and
Stick of Truth.
Yeah. Like you'd get copies of it to play on your current systems. With even though they released the single player version, or not single player, but they released it separately for that. So yeah, you can do that. And yeah, I am
all over that.
I'm sure you are.
I'm trying to get Kevin involved in that one so we could co-op that entire game.
That's true. You can.
And I could go out and fishing and flying and shooting some cult people.
Yeah, I'm still just not. I'm
going to play it, but I'm going to wait till it's a little cheaper and I've played through Primal. So.
I'll get it, but I'm only getting it because there's a steelbook attached to it. And that's why.
Primal's.
Well, yeah. Specifically, it has a Mondo steelbook attached to it, and I cannot let that
Mondo
go by. I got my latest Mondo release in the mail today, Tuesday actually, DVD release day. Mm-hmm. I got the latest Mondo release, number 20 in their line of steelbooks. I had to order it from the UK. The next two movies in their line, number 20 and 21, are Disney films, but you can only order them from the UK. They are The Incredibles.
I love that movie.
Which has a fantastic cover art. And then The Jungle Book, which has cover...
Not so much.
Well, the cover... Not the live action, the cartoon.
Okay.
The cover art for The Jungle Book was done by a guy named Ali Moss. Ali Moss is the guy who worked on Firewatch.
Okay.
Mm.
So, the art director mm-hmm. for an artist for Firewatch. So,
nice.
Yeah. Ali Moss, if you ever, you should look up some of his stuff, man. Now, I know if you're a fan of Firewatch and the aesthetic for Firewatch, he's done some fantastic Star Wars prints.
Mm.
Ali Moss has, yeah. It's really, really good stuff.
Ali G, not so much.
Is it the one with Shere Khan on the front?
Yes.
Okay.
Where the outline of Shere Khan image, but on the inside, the Shere Khan image is the image of Mowgli and the
I was about to say Mogwai.
Not Gizmo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, those are released, and Mondo is now getting into the video game line, and their first one is Far Cry, which sucks because I don't want Far Cry, but I will get it because it has this.
Speaking of Mondo, were you in on the Warframe soundtrack on the Blood Red discs?
No.
Okay. No. So I remember getting Sonic Mania soundtrack from them, and they had pretty good about fulfilling that order. Was no problem with them.
They have some soundtracks. They're not necessarily on a line that I am. Here's the thing: they numbered their steelbooks, and that really screwed me up. Because as soon as as soon as they put numbers on it, I'm like, well, let me.
There's an objective.
Well, I started early enough that I was able to build that collection.
Yeah.
And now it's one of those things where it's like, don't miss out. Because it was very hard to finish up that collection.
Don't ever get into Criterion Collection.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's the same reason I haven't done the pop vinyl things, the pop character things.
Oh, jeez.
That's a money hole that I'm not going to get into.
That's like you'd have to have a whole other house just to store them.
Shit.
Yeah.
But the Bob Ross one is cool.
What was I going to say to you was, so we talked a little bit about the Far Cry thing. Again, it's not on my radar.
It's on mine.
I'm glad they're doing it, but I'm getting it for the steelbook only.
I'm super excited.
That's the reason I'm doing it. Shadow of the Colossus, not so much. It has a steelbook, and I'm grateful that it does, But I look forward to kind of, you know, dipping my toe back in there for a little bit. I'm not as eager to do it. I have been spending most of my time that I do have to play Monster Hunter. Because I think I figured out the hook on that, which is basically... Yeah.
Cat cooking?
No. You don't cook cats.
No, your cat is the cook.
Oh, no,
The cat is cooking.
No.
Clarify that next time.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
The country is about animals, pets and animals, man.
Yeah. The hook on that is, like, I did a mission the other day, and I had to go and escort the researchers into this desert place.
Okay, yes, yeah, I know where you are.
Yeah, and so the big dinosaur monster thing with the whatever-looking face.
Barak.
Yeah. He comes out, and so I fire up an SOS flare, and some people come and help me, and we take him down. So then I go back, and I'm like, okay, I got some gear, so I put them on my wish list. And then I went to the board, and I was like, okay, let's see what's going on. And I saw other people doing that quest, so I was like, let me join them. So I joined them, killed the thing again, went back, I had more, so I could start making some armor. And then I went back to the board, and I said, let's see if somebody else is doing that quest. Found it, and I jumped in, and I got more gear, and... Is that the hook?
That is the hook.
is that what you're supposed to do?
I think the hook, I've always thought the hook for Monster Hunter was the grinding for the rare materials
which
that
is
you
what
get
I did.
To get
I was
the
trying weapons. To,
yeah, that's what he's doing.
You're going and
you're helping people out. The nice thing is they've made it very easy to help people out now or to get help if you need it. So it's not quite as frustrating sometimes if you're like really struggling or just can't find someone else to play with locally. Like, a lot of the time it would be local play, whereas now it's very much easier for the online stuff. So, yeah, either look for SOS players or just see what's going on and hop in, and you can get some more stuff, make yourself a new hat. Rinse, repeat.
Yeah, I jumped into somebody who was just doing an exploration mission, and exploration means there's nothing really tied to it. You don't have to, there's no objective.
There's no timer.
Yeah, you just go out and explore. And they killed this one flying beast. And
the big neck?
I can't remember. I don't remember. By the way, does everybody have like a grappling hook or something?
There are, yeah. You have one.
Do you get that later in the game?
I use it very easily whenever I've tried to use it.
Do you get it later in the game or do you automatically
have it? No, you start with it because I remember doing something on, I'm pretty sure you start with it.
Because this flying, we were in a tree, and this flying monster went off to somewhere else, and I saw the rest of that team who were on the pursuit of him, like, shoot their thing up to a limb and, like, propel themselves upward to get on top of it, and I was like, I don't know
I
how to do
just,
that.
Did
you ask
slinger,
him where they get
certain,
those wonderful
certain
toys?
Things that you shoot at, and it'll send out a
exactly, grip. That's what it was. It was like some thing hanging off a branch, and they shot at it and zipped right up.
Yeah, you gotta aim at it, and then just shoot it, and zoop.
I thought that's what I was doing, but instead I fired a sling thing at it or whatever. Mm. I couldn't figure out what to do. So.
You have to hum Danny Elfman when you do it.
It didn't work, and I just had to like chase him down.
Is it something that you have to equip in your menu or something like that?
I thought it might be.
I think it's automatic.
Automatic. Okay.
I haven't really done it myself very much. I did do it in the beta, so maybe I'm misremembering the beta from.
I went through my equipment. Okay. There was nothing there that indicated that it was, you know, your hook. Kind of like you got to pull out your whetstone and sharpen your blades again. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we killed this thing, I think twice we killed it, or we killed two of them. And I went back to my armor, you know, I went back to the forge, and I didn't see anything added as like a new set because you had found it. What I didn't realize is that I needed to scroll down. So then I went to my Palico. And his equipment, and boom, there it was. I was like, oh, okay, I got enough for my Palico. I got enough to fully equip him, like head and body and weapon.
Nice.
And then he's bad. He looks really, really cool in that set. So
if you are, I think you probably are high enough level in it now. There's because they're doing a tie-in with Horizon Zero Dawn, and so you can do some missions in the arena. And if you get a couple, you get Watcher lenses from that, and then you can make them. So my Palico now looks like a Watcher from Horizon Zero Dawn.
I'm still only rank 3.
I think you could do that one at that rank now.
I thought you had to be rank 6.
Maybe it'd be rank 4.
Oh, a rank 4? Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, actually, I think that, and the thing is, that is a time-limited one, so.
I know. And I really want to do all that so I can get to, so I, my cat can look like one of the dinosaurs. Yeah, from Horizon. I still haven't done much, but I did find that hook, and I just kept doing that over and over again.
So that's basically the long. I mean, there's story missions and things like that, but the long and short of it is basically you're doing that, and eventually you can try to take down bigger monsters, and hopefully get some nicer gear to take down bigger monsters to get some nicer gear.
Exactly, and the Skinner box continues.
Yep.
So, hey man, we appreciate you calling.
Not a problem. Oh, I forgot to tell you one other thing I did.
Yeah,
week. So I beat Tetrisphere on the N64. So,
yeah.
I fired up the N64 and I was able to actually complete that game, which is, I don't know if you guys have played Tetrisphere.
No.
But
I never had an N64, by the way.
It is, in my opinion, the best iteration of Tetris. It's different than, you know, the traditional drop the blocks. But
yeah, it was the round one, right?
It's the round one, and just it has a fantastic soundtrack, and just it's still your matching blocks, but it's just so different and unique, and I find the feedback is so much more satisfying. But just wish they would do a remake of it at some point, but I think it's lost in licensing limbo.
I could see the person trying to pitch that, you know, and just having a picture of Tetris and then a circle and saying, you know, it's for kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, it's just my other accomplishment for the week.
All right. Well, I still appreciate you making the in-game chat group for Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm. No problem. If anyone ever wants to join, just find me on.
How many members are we up to now? Four?
Five or six. Now. Okay. I got someone else who wants to join tonight.
Oh,
later on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I'll try and be on later tonight. I have a thing where when I'm done with the show, I go home and I take the computer and I start editing the video. Now, when the video has to render, it takes about 2 hours for it to render all of the different fade-ins and everything else that has to go on. And I really can't do anything on my PC while it's doing that. Otherwise, it offsets the video and the audio, and you get a delay. So I have to leave my computer completely alone. So when I'm done with when I start the render process, I'll jump on the PS4. And start doing some hunting with you guys. So
I will see if I'm on.
All right, man. Well, take care. Thanks for calling.
Have a good night.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And I don't want to make him wait any longer, even though we got to take a break here. But Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Talking Monster Hunter, which I see you picked up.
Yeah, thanks for helping my addiction, you know, something to get addicted to. But, yeah, I like to join y'all as well whenever you get time this afternoon after the show.
Definitely will. You had sent me a message a couple of weeks ago I think it was last week, actually.
Yeah.
You sent me one, and at that point in time, I'd already stopped playing. I just kind of left it idle.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I wasn't, that's why I didn't respond to yours. It was you and somebody else, actually, who sent me some invites, and I just wasn't around.
Okay.
So we'll get you into the group as well.
I'm in about the same area, the same rank as you, and looking for the same armor types and stuff. I may have an armor set a couple above, you know, that stone armor for, you know, from that first monster you hunted in that desert area.
Yeah.
But I'm around that area. I've been hunting, you know. But you can also do these investigation things where you can hunt down the monsters like that yourself instead of doing repeating the quest that you initially found that monster in.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. You could do that, but I just find people who are doing that quest and just join in on them.
Yeah.
And start helping them out because, I don't like doing anything in there by myself, to be honest with you. Like some of the stuff is easy to do when it's just kind of sending you out to do something, but if it's sending you on a hunt, when I find the thing, I'm like, I need more people. I don't like it. It was taking me forever to go after this thing.
From what I've observed looking at the folks, yeah, it does take a minute if you're by your lonesome.
Oh man, it was taking a while to do that. Which I'm glad somebody joined in on my quest and helped me out because I obviously haven't figured out the ins and outs of everything just yet. So it was a little strange and it took a while to do. So, I was playing with other people's. More fun for me in this game, which is why I join up on other people doing those quests. So, or immediately as I get the chance, I fire up an SOS so people will come and join. So, you're liking it, I guess?
Oh, yeah, I'm loving it. Of course, you know, I've been playing mostly by myself, and I've had a few people join me when I was doing a quest by myself, but yeah. pretty much, yeah, I've been enjoying that. But, you know, we can get together this afternoon or later on and go help people or, do just do the same thing like you do and just join up with other people.
Just do it over and over again to get the gear and then fashion the armor and then go after something else.
Yeah.
So that you can unlock more gear to complete the armor set and then go after something else. So does your you may know this and people in the chat room can help me if I'm wrong on this, or at least figure it out for me. How does your hunter level increase? Is it by what you're hunting? Do you just have to progress the story? Is it your gear gets better?
I think it's through the assigned quest. You know that you have to do through the hunter quest that that your your partner from the ship puts you on. I think you have to progress in the story to do that.
Hmm, okay.
Because I'm still rank 3, and I've been doing all kind of stuff back and forth like crazy on it. So that's what I think.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you calling. We got to take our break here, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. And if you're on tonight, I'll see you on tonight.
All right. We'll see you later then. Y'all have fun.
All right, dude. Take care
now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we got to go to a break. And then when we come back, we will go into to games that we played. Obviously, you know about my Monster Hunter experience, so we'll talk about what Matt has played, and we'll talk about anything that RJ has played as well. Going back to music, it's from a game that I've never done. It's from a game I've never played. It's also from a game that we've never used music from before. And this hit me when I was actually logging on to Twitch, and I was like, oh, yeah, I have never done games from these MOBAs and Dotas and whatever else they're called. So I found some music from League of Legends. I have no idea if this is a menu theme or if this is some kind of action theme or if I don't know. I don't know anything about League of Legends, but this is music from League of Legends, and we'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. For some of you, we have lost internet connection here at the radio station. Like, we lost all internet connection here at the radio station. None of it is working right now.
It's like we're back in the 80s.
So I can't tell anyone in the chat room that we are not broadcasting. They can't tell us that we're not broadcasting. Or at least not streaming out over the internet, put it that way. So, sorry about that. I've got Sarah's number. I can tell her. Although I'm probably getting... anyway, reach out to Sarah if you could. Let her know that we're aware. And she can tell everybody there that we're not able to do that. Really, the only way to hear us now is by actually listening to us on the radio if you're close by.
Yeah.
So.
Still red.
Yeah, it's doing another attempt to connect. Anyway. It'll keep trying to connect, apparently, but...
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing.
Yeah, from what I can tell, it's not working. This is music, by the way, from Oxenfree. Track is called The Beach.
All right, I can see
it. Is that a puzzle title?
I don't really know what Oxenfree is. Hmm. Which, at this point, we would rely on the chat room to throw out information to us, but we can't... there's no getting
nothing.
That. Yeah, there's no getting that right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I have no idea why our internet has decided to just completely suddenly die.
So maybe it pulled something or knocked something out.
I really don't know. There's only like one other person here, and they wouldn't have access to do anything back there to shut us down.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
Man, that sucks. Anyway, what was I going to say? For those who might be listening on the radio or whatever, this show will be uploaded tomorrow. We'll be on YouTube and iTunes and everywhere you can you get our show anyway. So, I hate that happened. That really sucks, but...
show must go on?
Well, it kind of has to. You can't just not do a show.
All right, everybody, pack up. Let's go.
You can't just not do a show on the radio because your internet isn't working. So we'll have to figure that out. I'm going to have to, I don't know. I've got a guy I can reach out to and see. Matt, why don't you tell us what you've played?
I have, been, of course, Kevin and I have been going back into, Ghost Recon Wildlands, even though we've already gone through the entire campaign. We played it, we beat it, whatever. We decided to, basically new game plus it of sorts.
How many levels of plus can you get in this game?
Well, I mean, and the fact that like, once you hit up to level 40, mm-hmm. that's as high as level you could go. Then you start the tier system where it counts down from level, tier 40, mm-hmm. and you go to level 1. Mm-hmm. So you tier 40, tier 39, 38, whatever.
Okay.
I'm on tier 8 right now.
Okay.
And like every 5 tiers, you get a reward, whether it's a weapon or a cosmetic, something mm-hmm. like a face paint, a shirt, whatever. Okay. I'm working my way to tier 5, which is going to be a weapon that okay. I want. But there's no real new game plus in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is, since we're already level 40, we're on the tier system, we maxed out. One of the things about with the tier system also is it increases the hardness. And it takes away, you still have your map. But the enemies don't show up on the radar unless you visually spot them. So before, mm-hmm. you'd have like this sort of like hazy area where they're about. And so you kind of know, hey, there's some people over in this area. Be careful. Mm-hmm. That's gone. So I don't know. Unless I'm actually seeing somebody or have a drone spotting them or Kevin sees them, we don't know where they're at. Okay. So that adds a lot of tension and challenge.
I was about to say, what's the point of keeping that map on? But you said the drone.
The drone will show up,
but,
and it does also. It's a little mini map, so you can, once you start spotting people, you could say, hey, you can look at the mini map. Hey, they're over here, west side, or look at north, or whichever direction.
Yeah. See, but, I was wondering if you had the same system as like one of the Souls games have, because new game plus, then new game plus.
No, it didn't have any of that. Yeah. But okay. What we're doing is we're going back to like the very first, the beginning of the game district that you're in, and you could redo missions. And so you just go individually, start this mission, and allows you to replay it. Mm-hmm. So we decided to go through, and we're just replaying missions, in the districts and stuff. And so that's been a lot of fun. So stuff that was originally really easy in the game, like the first starting out levels and everything,
right,
now is a lot more challenging, because of the enemy scaling and the difficulty scaling and stuff like that. Where, so we're having a lot of fun with that. Mm-hmm. I still say that game is really pretty. It's fun to play co-op. Chance to get with friends and stuff like that is a lot of fun. So I've been doing that, and also I really want to finish out Wolfenstein: New Colossus. Not out of
I did too until I read your conversation with James.
Not necessarily out of fun, but just to get to have it done, have the experience, and take it off my hard drive. It's gotten weird, even for a Wolfenstein standard.
How so?
I don't want to get... See, that's the thing. It's kind of a plot point. And Scott hadn't played it yet, and I don't want to, get too much into plot points, but,
I want to say that I will.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
In terms of plot points, I think I can come up... I think I can guess where you're at right now.
Have you played through it?
I've played through the entire storyline of the game.
Yeah. Oh, I just got to New Orleans.
Okay.
So then you kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
Even by Wolf standard, that's weird.
Yeah, no.
I was like, all right, sure. Let's go with that.
That was a foreshadowing with that.
I guess with the little critter and but still it it was weird. I did choose it, for the contraption. I chose the legs.
I think it was the body.
The armor or armor. The squishy crunch.
Armor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you could like dash at
things. Big shoulder tackle. You could do that. Yeah. That one.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing the leg, so I got my little, stilts.
Bouncy.
Yeah. Which, all right, sure.
There's different places you can access
I
now
did
with
notice,
a thing like that.
Because when you first get the contraption, you go to I went back to Manhattan.
Right.
And I did notice, going through there, I saw, the place where you could either crawl through, if you choose the constrictor body, crawly type. Mm-hmm. I saw where I could do the legs to get over. So I could see how now they're developing the areas with all three contraptions in mind.
If you got this, you can do this.
You go this route, or you go this route. All right, that's cool. That's fine.
I don't know if the difficulty picks up or changes or anything like that. It's just...
How much
something that you get there?
How much further after getting to New Orleans is there?
After you, after the plot point you were talking about, it was about a couple more places you have to go through.
Another third?
It's like what I said about the thing when I played through it. You won't know you've beat it. It goes so fast.
It'll go pretty quickly.
It'll go pretty quickly. To me, it went pretty quickly.
Okay, good.
After that.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoy playing through it.
I'm not enjoying it as much as I did New Order.
Well, it's not new to you. You played.
Yeah,
you played the first
I did
one,
New
so
Order,
probably,
and I did the Old Blood and stuff.
It's kind of like more of the same, but just a little bit extra in there. The only thing you really want to do, really, to play it again is
the
other route. Other route. It's like the first one, picking between Fergus and Wyatt in the first one.
Do you have to do the Enigma, the contracts?
No, because I haven't finished that.
Okay.
I haven't finished that at all. In fact, I have to go. But that's the thing I got to finish in that.
I hate to be in bad mood about it and just be all grumpy puss, but I don't know. I'm just not feeling
all
it.
All grumpy puss.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's no problem with being grumpy puss about it. I am after reading your discussion with James on it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I'm so glad that I only paid like $25 for that
game.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, I will say that. I am glad I got it for the cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, it's just not...
I lost interest a long time ago, and I don't even have the desire to like...
Load it back up?
Push on through and like continue going. I just, I don't know.
That and been I did the second God in Assassin's Creed Origin. They're doing the Trial of the Gods again, and I did that. And last week? Did I mention that I did the Hitman?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You did.
That was fun. I can't wait for the next one. Mm-hmm. I really can't wait for the Gary Busey Elusive Target. That one I'm gonna to me it's a shame you could only do that once.
That was the game, by the way, that I was telling that I said that I didn't want to, you know, that we talked about earlier in the show where I was like I don't want to continue, was the Wolf 2 situation.
Okay, yeah,
that was the one I joined. I've been talking to
Sarah?
The guy who deals with our internet stuff. So
I did pick up, you mentioned, you told me yesterday about Batman.
Oh, what did I do? Evil villain fingertip thing.
Yeah, no. Batman Season 2. Telltale Batman Season 2. There was a price mix-up.
There was a price error on that.
On Steam.
It was a Telltale weekend on Steam, so all the Telltale games were discounted.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman Season 1 and Batman Season 2 had their prices flipped. So...
The game that's been out longer, Batman Season 1, should have been...
Yeah, it was $14, and it was supposed to be $7. And instead, Season 2 got the $7 treatment, and Season 1 got the $14 treatment. So grabbed Season 2.
I am glad that I already had and played through Season 1. And so when I picked up Season 2 for $7, I'm like, yeah, that's a deal.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for game deals, and you have a Twitter, even if you don't have a Twitter account,
Wario64,
go get one.
Yes.
Just to follow this guy, and then set your alerts to send directly to your phone so that when this stuff comes up, you will know about it immediately.
Yeah.
You're going to get a ton of other tweets. They're all game. They're usually all kind of game deal related. You're going to get a lot of those. You're especially going to get a lot of those during the Black Friday stuff. It killed my phone.
Yeah.
But you're going to get good information, especially when there's price drops. He'll occasionally drop the big news, too, like he did with the other day when he said, he's like, hey, here's Red Dead Redemption 2's release date.
Yeah, October.
Here's when Nintendo goes online for their paid online service. So
yeah,
he'll occasionally drop that stuff. But for the most part, you're going to get info on deals of games and stuff. So definitely follow him.
So I installed the Telltale Batman Season 2.
Yeah.
I started it up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, let me check the episodes. Episode 5 isn't out yet.
No, it's not.
So
only 4.
I promptly exited.
Yeah, of course.
I am not going to start that game until all of them are out, because I don't want to be in that position where...
And I think 4 just released not too long ago.
Yeah, so. I'm going to get through. I'm going to blow through them. I'm going to play them. And I'll get to the end of like 1 and have to wait like 8 months for the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't be 8 months, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I know what you mean, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, nope, I'll just wait till it's all out.
Yeah.
And it does allow you, since I did play the original, I mean the first one, you could continue your save from that and your choices from that.
I don't have the first one on PC.
Okay.
Good time to get it since I could pay $14 and have both seasons.
Yeah, yeah. How about that for a deal, right?
Because once they flip the prices back, it's now $7 for the first season that I don't have. So.
Yeah.
I might actually do that. I got it for free, I think, on Xbox Live. It was one of their gold games.
Oh, okay.
A Games with Gold program. And I think I got it there. But if I am going to play Season 2 on PC, I would rather have my saves cross. I would rather have my saves carry over with my decisions. By the way, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't know because you haven't played Season 2, so never mind.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to see if your decisions were that important. They were not between Walking Dead 1 and Walking Dead 2. Your decisions were not important.
No.
But you don't know because you haven't played Season 2 if your choices from the first game have any sort of weight whatsoever in the second.
Don't know.
So, I know.
I'm going to guess no.
I know.
Just from history?
I think so, too. I think it's very hard to program a game like that where your decisions would carry over.
Because it has to be multiple decisions.
And to be anything significant, put it that way. Yes, yeah. your decisions can be something significant.
The one thing that they had was, like, you saw the dead body of whoever you chose.
Right, yeah.
Woo.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
That was all. That was the only thing that mattered.
Yeah, I think in the Telltale series, in my experience, yeah, all the decisions really mattered just in that one season alone. The second thing really doesn't matter, really.
And I didn't even play season 3 of Walking Dead.
RJ, what have you played?
Well, I still did a little grinding in Destiny 2, which is now starting to feel like a chore, really, because nothing really new. And I think I've done pretty much everything I can do in that game. Really, at this point, I'm just trying to get chest armor for my characters, really. Because it's like I maxed out on everything except chest armor. I can always get foot, glove, helmet, things like that. But chest armor, no. I think it's the only chest armor is the only reason I'm not maxed out on my characters right now. I'm still hovering at the 333, 334, a light level mark because of that. Other than that, played a little bit of more of Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter V, arcade edition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Based on my performance at Comic Con, going 2-2 in the tournament. So I played that a little bit more, tried to get a little more matchup knowledge between characters, because the reason I was out of the tournament because I was playing against a player who used Colleen. And it was at that moment I realized, yeah, I have really zero experience playing against this character. So it was just spur of the moment, split second decisions playing against that character, and it didn't turn out well for me. So that's something I just need to learn, the matchup in that one. Booted up Bloodborne after a while on PS4 as well. And I think we've talked about it before, how you play a game, and you play it so much, and then you put it down for a good while, you put it back in again, and you forget every basic aspect of how to play.
The
and
Division.
Do
yeah. We did that. The new Division patch came out.
Yeah.
And so, like, we reinstalled it and everything. I went back in there, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what armor is. I don't know what any of this is. What am I doing?
Yeah, oh, it's like I was running around in the Hunter's Dream, and I'm like, okay, Dark Souls, I'm getting the Dark Souls vibe. Okay, the shoulder and the trigger buttons. Yeah, they do this with my weapons and whatnot. Okay. And then my brain just went out because I'm like, okay, how do I renew my health? I know a blood vial does, but which button does it? So I'm hitting random buttons on the PS4 pad trying to figure out which one refills my health. So, oh, that's it. Got it. Other than that, the newest thing I played out of all that is Mutant Football League. That was just released. That was released a while back. Yeah. A nostalgia throwback for those who remember EA's Mutant Sports Leagues games. It was like football and hockey. So they made an updated version of the football one. And the best part of it to me is they got Tim Kitzrow to do the voiceover for that game. If you're not familiar with Tim Kitzrow, is the guy who does the voice work, did the voice work for NBA Jam. You know, Mr. Boom Shakalaka.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's on fire, things like that. A lot of adds some good humor to the thing. The parodies of the teams and the players on there, you know, like you'll see things like, you know, Green Bay Packers, you have Green Bay Attackers, you know, that type of parody, things like that. Players of Paradise as well. Instead of Tom Brady, you have Bomb Shady, things like that. So if you're a fan of football, you pretty much know exactly who they're talking about in there. Had a good time with that. Other than that, played a little bit more of a Pac-Man Championship Edition too. Still trying to break some scores on the leaderboard.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Well, good. We are coming up on our break here. We still don't have internet. they are currently right now. There's a guy on the phone with our internet provider, and they are testing the line right now. So
what happens when you don't pay the bills?
Yeah.
Suddenly disconnect.
Yeah. So
darn you, net neutrality.
Yeah, we're going to take another break. I don't know if the internet's going to be back or not. It is not really significant to anybody who is listening to us now anyway, because you're listening to the show. So
yeah.
We've got music here from Metroid Prime 2.
Ooh.
I have never done the Metroid Prime series for music.
For the music.
Oh, I played
you played them. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. I didn't play.
I played the first one.
Yeah, I played the first one. I didn't do the second one.
And didn't do Echoes.
Yeah. Never played Metroid.
Yeah, I didn't do any. I just did the first one. So, but this is from Metroid Prime 2. It is the menu music, and we will be back with Morning Game Chat right after this. We'll talk about, there's a lot actually to talk about here, and we haven't even touched on the news that I wanted to get into. So we'll get into all of that coming up next here on In Game Chat. Be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chats. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. This is music from Ratchet & Clank 3. The track is called Marcadia.
It's another series I haven't played.
Yeah, we're still. It's not a bad series, and it's,
no, it's not bad.
You can,
I mean, just
you can find it on the cheap too.
Yeah.
We're still out of internet here. Somebody's coming to the station here to try and get it all fixed. Probably will not be up by the time that we are done with the show, but that is fine. This show will be up online tomorrow. We're still recording. That's the thing. We're still recording the show. The computer is still recording the video and everything else. So, all of that will be intact. So let's get to some of the news. There was a really good survey that was done by the GDC. It's a state of the industry, and they give it to devs, and devs fill out the survey and stuff, and then they release the results. One of the results was, you know, which VR platform do you prefer to code for? Which one do you like to build for? What do you see working with VR that you would code, you know, that you would develop games for? And there was like the largest result of that was that nobody was working on VR games.
Yeah.
That got 47% of the vote.
Not surprising.
But then it went HTC Vive.
Okay.
Was up there, and then just below that was the Rift, and then just below that was PSVR.
Okay.
So but it's I haven't and I you know what? I can't open up any of these articles.
Then it hits you.
They're all linked.
Thanks, Obama.
I can't open up any of these articles. You know what? I can on my phone, and I may have to. Let me find Google Docs.
While you're doing that. So, yeah. RJ.
Yes.
I was up in my attic last night putting up Christmas decorations.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's February.
Wait, just now?
Yeah, whatever.
There we go.
Okay.
Anyways, I found my old copy of Falcon 4.0. It's a study simulator of the F-16 Fighting Falcon. And this came out like late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
But this version, I had the deluxe edition that was like a nice binder with like the whole thing is like so much information about like how to fly, what the radar systems are. Like it basically tells you, you know, kind of,
yeah,
you know, game-wise, how good to fly a...
how to fly a fighter jet.
It is one of the nicer manuals that I've ever seen.
Now, we talk about a thick,
yeah, good yeah, the thing size, is like, yeah, that big. It's like
Atlanta phone book size binder.
Yeah, it's about like that big. It's like a three-ring binder of just information in there and like all the stuff that it goes into. I mean, like, and that just made me like realize that video game manuals are just lacking.
They don't exist. They don't exist.
No. Yeah. I mean,
your manual is the game itself.
Yeah, but like back in the day, like, you know, you read the Zelda manual like for the original NES to find out like, oh, what's the story about? What's this? Oh, look at this. It has a backstory in the air and like, you know, and they tell you how to do stuff and they have little drawings and or whatever, but not anymore. Now it's, you're lucky if you get anything.
I think we talked about, I think you talked about it a while back ago about flight sims.
Yeah.
You'd love to see those come back again.
I would
I don't think they'll ever come back to that degree for Falcon.
Yes and no. I don't think they're ever going to be as popular as they were back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still stuff like DCS, Digital Combat Simulators, that are still doing stuff. And like I have the DCS A-10 study sim where... You know, it's a study simulator for the A-10. And, I mean, that one you have to, like, you get in, you have to know, click this button to close the hatch, click this button to start, you know, the EPU, click this button to, you know, left engine, right engine. I mean, like, you have to know exactly how to click buttons and turn knobs and start engines. Yeah. And this it's not just, you know, like, go in, take off.
And this is recent.
It's more of a recent. I mean, it's been out for a couple of years. But they keep on continuing with newer mods is what the airplane mods is what they call it. So the whole thing is like under DCS world. They're coming out soon with the F-18 Hornet. Well, F-18A Super Hornet.
Yeah.
So it'll be like a study sim of the Super Hornet, which as much as, I mean, I do love the A-10. It's one of my favorite aircraft. It is low and slow. To be able to fly something that, you know, supersonic, that you could, like, really, like, you could take off for the Hornet, you could, in the game, you could take off from an aircraft carrier. And, like, just, I mean, that would be neat to be able to, like, fly around the ocean, stuff like that, land on a, well, crash onto a carrier. Because, you know, I'll be honest, I won't be landing that thing anytime soon.
Yeah, well.
They have a helicopter. Kevin plays one of the, like, I think it's some Russian helicopter, you know.
Hind?
No, it's not the Hind. It's one of the weirder ones. I mean, it has two sets of rotors on top. And I forget what it's called. But, I mean, so they do have multiple, you know, study sims. Mm-hmm. And then they have ones like I have the F-15 where it's not as detailed at all. Mm-hmm. But you could hop in, you could take off, you could whatever. But, I mean, to be able to get back to a place where they do have flight sims, I would love. Because I love being in a cockpit digitally. It's so much fun. That's why I'm looking forward to Ace Combat 7 whenever
they release
out.
That for you, yeah.
I mean, because like I have my you know, my flight stick with throttle for my PlayStation 4 that I'll plug in and I will play that with that. I mean,
yeah.
If flight sims would be the perfect thing for VR, you know, like Scott was saying, like how they're talking about the Vive and the you know, PSVR and all that stuff. If they could develop stuff like flight sims with, I mean, they go hand in hand with VR, in my opinion.
All right, so I've got the articles up now that I can.
All right, yeah,
that I can access.
I talked enough.
No, we've got the year in review for the gaming industry for 2017. It was a report by SuperData that shows that mobile games are the biggest factor of that. The mobile gaming generated $59.2 billion last year.
I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. Followed by PC.
Oh.
At $33 billion.
Master Race is coming back.
Consoles, $8 billion.
Wow, that's a difference.
Gap.
That is a gap.
That is a massive gap.
I wish Lethal Migraine could hear that.
Under the umbrella of interactive media was extended Under the umbrella of interactive media, extended reality was the biggest category. VR and AR combined to make $4 billion.
Okay.
And gaming video content followed close behind at 3.2, while esports generated $756 million. In total, the video game industry saw revenues of $108.4 billion in 2017.
Man.
Both the PC and mobile sectors were driven by free-to-play titles. Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all.
Because of all the microtransactions.
By the perks afterwards. Mm-hmm. Some intentionally, some not.
$82 billion was spent on those games by 2.5 billion players.
Yeah.
That's one out of every three people in the global population.
Yeah. Because they're addictive.
And they're crap.
yeah.
The total money spent on mobile titles was also $14 billion higher than in 2016. Man, Asia remains the biggest market for mobile gaming.
I'm not surprised on that.
Let's see.
Now to think about it, what's this year's Candy Crush?
Candy Crush? I don't know.
Still?
No idea.
Still running?
I'm sure it's still running. I don't know. Asia, or they have like some new version or...
Asia remains the biggest market for mobile, generating $36 billion in 2017. By contrast, North America and Europe generated... $9.1 billion and $5.9 billion.
That's still a lot of money. Mm.
It is, but when you see Asia, well, obviously Asia is huge. But Asia, what did they do? It was $36 billion,
yeah.
And North America only did nine. Yeah, for that. So that is a lot of. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that article about the classic video game shenanigans.
Oh, here it is, Billy Mitchell. Yeah, he lost his rank as the, he got kicked off the leaderboards for, like,
Billy
Mitchell has been around for a while. He was one of the,
time, since the early 80s.
Yeah, he was, and still is, I believe, the only person, he was the first, and maybe the only person, ever.
To kill screen.
To get to the kill screen on Pac-Man.
And Donkey Kong as well.
Yeah, Donkey Kong as well, yeah.
I don't know that he ever got to the kill screen on Donkey Kong.
I thought that he did.
That
was the whole thing of King of Kong, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That the dude, Weebly, you know, whatever, tried to take his mantle.
Yes, but I don't think that I don't think that Donkey Kong had a kill screen though.
Donkey Kong has a kill screen.
I'm not sure.
I am 99.8% sure that
because
it does.
People have beaten his score, mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I would think that they would have gotten to that kill screen, and people are still beating his score.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, look it up and see.
Yeah.
It may very well have that kill screen, and maybe you can get your scores obviously by, you know, doing certain things in the game to increase your score. But he was his title was stripped. Three or four of his scores were brought down off the leaderboards because they investigated and found out he was using an arcade emulator to acquire those scores. Now, he very well could have been doing this without any sort of cheating whatsoever.
Level 22 is Donkey Kong's kill screen.
Okay.
Because I thought that was also part of the King of... there's a documentary called The King of Kong,
yeah,
for those out there who are interested in like video game histories, whatever. But it that was part of it, where mm-hmm. it shows Billy Mitchell, now as an adult, you know, still trying to defend his title of, you know, world record Donkey Kong holder, and this young guy, or younger guy, whatever, trying to dethrone him. And I don't know if it's just like, you know, the editing or the narrative of the movie, but it really makes Billy Mitchell come off as the heel, as the bad guy, as mm-hmm. the guy you want to punch because he's smarmy and has this beard and ponytail, and you just, oh my God, I want to punch him.
Which, I mean, this goes... This,
I don't know if that's how he really is. He might be a super nice guy. Probably he not. Has hot sauce. Which, I don't know.
This goes to enforce that.
Yeah, this doesn't add to his, you know, niceness. You know, this isn't taking up niceness.
People were watching his direct feeds and were slowing them down and saw how the levels were being built.
Mm-hmm.
And said that's not how arcade machines build their levels. Arcade machines build levels in a pan and
very particular order,
like a curtain way, like a mm-hmm. like a curtain revealing from right to left.
Yeah,
and you can see it build the screen and the level and everything else. Whereas the stuff that they were watching on Billy's feeds were being built in chunks, like a whole section of the screen popped in, then another section, rather than the swipe that most arcade machines have to do. And there was also...
Cause
like they really did deep dives on this.
Yeah. You know, like, someone was like, well, what's the big deal? You know, but, you know, if he's using an emulator, you know, he could make it, he could program it.
Yeah.
With
a bot.
And nobody is saying that he did. But they have to pull that off of there because they don't know.
The possibility of cheating.
The fact that the possibility is there, he could have.
Where you could program it to, you know, on every single frame, you know, and like keyframe, press mm-hmm. this button. So
this is how close that they monitor this stuff. There are leaderboards, not just for the score, but there are leaderboards for how many barrel smashes, mm-hmm. how many smashes were done on a conveyor belt, how many smashes were done on the rivet level, how many others. Let's see, the blue barrels, I think.
Yeah.
Five barrels.
Yeah, he says that, this guy says, most of Billy's points in his direct feed games, which were on the MAME machines, come from blue barrel smashes. Blue barrels are completely RNG-based. They're just random number generator.
Right.
They're just randomly generated. Somehow his averages are way above the mean of everybody else,
mm-hmm.
Which, again, looks shady, not saying it is.
It's shady.
Well, no, I'm not saying he did anything.
I'm saying it. No. I know you're not. I am.
But and he has not given any kind of statement towards this. But they've pulled his leaderboards, or his scores off the leaderboards there.
I mean, it's,
so if you're ever interested in that, then watch that documentary, King of Kong. It's
a good documentary.
It really, really is. And
he just comes off as someone you want to punch.
Just recently, by the way, the top score in Donkey Kong after his scores were removed. In fact, it was beaten yesterday.
Oh wow!
Not his score, but the. There's a score that somebody had since 2016 that was considered a perfect game of Donkey Kong,
mm-hmm.
and somebody legitimately beat that yesterday.
Wow!
Only by a couple, like it's 1,200,000+, and this guy had 1,200,000. Like if the other guy was 214, this guy had 260. So it wasn't that big of a beat.
But enough.
But it was enough to put him in number one.
Yeah. Twin Galaxies are the people that do the records.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so is the Donkey Kong forums, the Donkey, the Kong for something like that is what it's called.
Yeah. But yeah, those old school games are can get competitive. I mean,
yeah, they do.
You know, that's back when we had scores that people could chase after.
Yeah. Red Dead Redemption 2 got a
October.
Yeah, October 26th is going to be the release date on that.
And unfortunately, still no PC.
Of course not. Yeah, but it's probably going to stick with that one. They're probably going to stick with October 26th for the release date on that. What else do we have? Kaz Arai has stepped down as Sony's boss.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, how long has he been there?
$599? Yeah. $499, or whatever it was. God, Ridge Racer!
Yeah, Ridge Racer. Oh, my God. How long has Kaz been there? I mean, it's been a while.
It has.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, that's a legend.
Speaking of GDC, they were going to give an award out to Nolan Bushnell, but they have...
Oh, yeah, they kind of took that away.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan Bushnell is one of the founders of Atari.
Yeah, he was going to get one of those Pioneer Awards.
Which, okay.
Yeah, but... Mm-mm.
Yeah, okay.
No.
I mean, that's the tough thing. Like, you want to... I mean, me personally, I want to celebrate...
It's not that tough.
Well, I mean, like, I want to celebrate what he did, because we wouldn't be where we're at now if it wasn't for him.
But the way he did it was really bad.
This is a weird thing, because...
Is it?
In a way, because, like, in 2018...
Tread lightly, my friend.
I know, I'm trying to. This isn't a, you know, I want to play as Nazi moment. But
yeah, right.
In 2018, the zeitgeist and our mentality and of our society is not what it was in 1970.
Mm. Why?
Because we've grown, I think. We have adapted. We have changed. That's what societies do. You look at old school marketing, and like it is straight up sexist. Straight. I mean, like, oh my goodness! There, no way would any of that fly nowadays.
Yeah, so you'd go after the marketing company for that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but that a lot of that was the attitude, that was the culture back then.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to judge previous cultures by your lens, I think it can be tricky. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible that we should never do it.
It's not necessarily...
Some things, I think, are more cut and dry.
It's not necessarily that they're judging him based on that.
But, I mean, like, so I would like to celebrate, because we would not be where we're at without Nolan Bushnell. He is one of those people we're standing on his shoulders. He did great things for the industry, for the starting, for video games. As a person, can we separate what someone does as opposed to what someone is? I don't know. I mean, because he was accused of sexual harassment and definitely, like, inappropriate.
Not necessarily sexual harassment. It was the way that the company carried themselves and the way
they
developed.
They were very, very, very boys clubby.
Yeah, they named certain codes after women that they were, people that they worked with.
Oh, it's inappropriate as all get up.
They,
But, I mean, the culture back then is not what it is now. So I don't know. To me, it's a weird, you know, trying to. It's tough because luckily we are not in that place anymore. We at least we try not to be. I would like to think.
Yeah, give you an eyebrow raise.
I think we're working on it. We're, you know, hopefully we are moving past that. But
we're
to
about
totally
to move past our
I know
cut
but,
off here. So
but
keep,
to totally
keep
discredit him. And his contribution for the past, I don't know, man.
It's like some folks can't separate it. Both things can be true.
Yeah.
The man did great
things.
I mean,
he can be a sexist, pig who does wonderful things.
Yeah.
No person, I think, is truly 100% good, 100% evil. We're all shades of gray. You know, that's kind of how my philosophy of things is, where you could do fantastic things and still be a terrible person, but thank you for doing these wonderful things. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be a fantastic musician and just be the worst, but you do good stuff in that aspect.
I sit on a different side of that, I think.
Yeah,
that it's just, it's even hard for me to, like, look back and have any sort of, you know... appreciation for how he did what he did. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you're saying that it was great that what he did because it did what it brought us to where we are.
Yeah.
But the way it was done is still horrible for me. So I can't.
But that's horrible for you now in 2018. If you were to talk to you back in like 1979, it would probably be a different story. Well, you'd be like, what, two?
I'd be one.
One. So, yeah, you wouldn't have the same opinions.
No,
but
no.
I'm sure, you know, people that age or our age back then would be like, that's just, you know, that's just guys being guys. Or, you know, I don't know. It's weird judging the past by our lens. Hmm. You know, I think that could be sometimes problematic.
Hmm. And on that note, because we
I could be wrong.
To,
I don't know.
Yeah, we do have to go. That what am I looking for here? That's what I'm looking for.
Music.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Well,
for in the chat room? Yeah,
for the little bit that you were in the chat room, we appreciate it. Everybody who was listening on the stream, well, okay, for the little bit that you were doing that. This changes up my whole...
Your whole spiel?
My whole ending thing. Anyway.
Just flip a table and go home.
Thanks for listening. This will be up on iTunes. It'll be up on YouTube and stuff, everything tomorrow. So you can get it there. We really appreciate it. Head on over to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Do that on Steam if you want to as well. We have a Steam group there. You can do it on any of the consoles. We have groups all over those things. There's our Monster Hunter thing. We're on Discord. We're everywhere on the internet. And you can find that at ingamechat.net. You know what? I need to add our Discord on that webpage.
Yes.
Need to add a bunch of stuff on that webpage. So, Sure. Yeah. Anyway.
Add away.
Have a great week. Enjoy the rest of it with your internet folks who have that, since we don't. Going to go out here with music from Infamous.
That was a good series. I wish that would come back.
This track is called Meet the Reapers. So have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday, everybody.